Hello, everybody. I am Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question or two for you. Do you approach life by regarding the things that happen as either good or bad? Do you feel like the bad things in life are outnumbering the good things? Is life about shifting the balance to finding more of the good? In today's podcast and post, we'll return to our ongoing series entitled Psalms Greatest Hits, with a look at the ninth section of Psalm 119 entitled Tet. We'll discover how weighing life in the balances of good and bad causes us to mislabel the hidden good as bad. Join me now as we contemplate the richness of the greatest psalm of all and discover why the voice of God is to be treasured above everything and how we can begin seeing all of life as good because God is good. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I'm your host. My name is Kevin Winder. Welcome to the program, and I always am excited when you're here because I know you didn't come here because I put out some advertisement. You didn't just end up here. Somehow, some connection between you and me or this content in you has found its way into your life, and behold, here you are. And you made a choice. You said, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to see what is here. And that thing that is pulling you into this moment is a very, very big, good thing. So I celebrate every person who leans into this. And so if you're joining, we are now in a series. This is an ongoing series that I entitled Psalms Greatest Hits. The idea is that about every 10 weeks or so, and sometimes longer, we pause and we rejoin the Psalms and listen to the psalmist teach us something new, nuanced, beautiful, rich, deep. And we are working our way through the 119th Psalm, which in my opinion is the greatest psalm of all. It's the biggest psalm of all, that's for sure. And we are in the ninth installment of the 119th Psalm. And today it is a podcast number 526. It is the 119th Psalm entitled Tet. So, as we close out 2025, we return to this Psalms Greatest Hits series with a look at this ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if you are just tuning in or if you're not familiar with this particular psalm, it's a long psalm. It's broken up into sections that are each eight verses long. And each eight-verse section corresponds to a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Within each of the eight sections, or with each verses of all the sections, there is something to be said about God's voice, God's commandments, God's word, God's precepts, God's statutes, God's law. The entire chapter of 119 reflects from the psalmist on the value, the richness, the beauty, the wisdom of knowing God's word, God's voice. And it's a graced experience. It's something that God lovingly gives to those who seek him. And so it corresponds to so many deep life lessons, and today is a really good one. So as you kind of come to this, I really want you to think through how you are living your life and how this wisdom will speak into your life. And today, this is the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Tet. It's spelled T-E-T-H, and the symbol of the Tet will kind of remind you a little bit of the Zayin from a couple of letters ago, where you had the crowned man. This is one of the Hebrew letters that has a crown on it, on the left side. And what some people refer to the rest of the symbol is either a serpent or sometimes a pregnant belly. It's kind of obscuring. It's hiding something. The tet means good, tov, as like in the very beginning of all scripture. And many people see this other side of it. So it's both something good and it's also something hidden. It's something obscured. It's something pregnant, right? These are kind of the nuances of the symbolism behind the letter. It's kind of this effect of it being the ninth letter, kind of numerologically sort of corresponds to gestation, 9 months in pregnancy, which kind of ties into the symbol. So there's a lot going on, as in all of Hebrew letters and language and richness and layers. And there's a depth to it that is easily skimmed over by the unlearned, which would be me when it comes to Hebrew. I know very little. I study it as best I can, but I haven't been formally trained in it. So I really enjoy listening to Hebrew scholars and rabbis and teachers and others who have mined the depths of this language. The meaning, though, comes through the passage. So what I do know is I read the words. I study the scripture. I read them. I've contemplated them. I prayed through them. And this is where I can come to the same conclusion by way of a different means. And that is that through this text, you will see that the intention is that God is good, tet, tov. And even if it doesn't seem like God is good right now, the goodness of God is working through all things, gestating that goodness, growing, incubating, providing that goodness, and the good will come forth. This is echoed in the 8 verses of the section of chapter 119, which I'll read here. But just kind of observe in these words the beautiful truth that good is often hidden at first. Verse 65 of 119 says, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." You know, when I read through this, it occurs to me that when we grow spiritually, that is, when we become aware, awakened, or conscious to the depth dimension of life, it's common to go deeper in the practice of reflection. You see this as people age, they become nostalgic. There's a practice of reflecting upon life. This is also known as contemplation or wordless prayer. A person climbing a mountain who is constantly looking upward toward their destination will not fully appreciate the altitude gained until they pause and turn around, looking away from the mountain, looking down upon the height that has been gained. That's when they realize how high they've come. The spiritual life is lived in the harmony of both climbing and pausing and reflecting. And that's what happens when you grow spiritually. You start to put out effort and then you pause and reflect. And when we see this in the psalmist's words, he says, "You have dealt well with your servant." In other words, he's reflecting. He's looking over his life and he's saying, "Wow, this has actually been really, really good." But we must not assume that that journey was easy, any easier than climbing any mountain or any challenge or any of our lives. Nobody has an easy life. yes, some people's lives have less of a particular struggle than another, and some struggles weigh us down more than others. But every life is full of struggle. Nobody is free from it, right? The good is hidden within the context of the climb and within the context of affliction, a struggle. And so if you go through life weighing the good and the bad, oh, this was a good thing. Oh, this was a bad thing. It's always interesting to me when I listen to people make small talk. Small talk is people telling you whether something good happened or whether something bad happened. I want you to pay attention when you listen to people about what are they telling you. Are they telling you something good is happening or something bad is happening? Because that's the framework that most of us are trapped into. This psalm invites us out of that. It invites us beyond it into a deeper, bigger, more holistic perspective of goodness. Not that some things are good and some things are bad, but that God is good, and therefore all things are good. Like, that has to displace the teeter-totter, the balance in your mind. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 69, "The insolent smear me with lies." Insolent means disrespectful, right? "But with my whole heart, I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law." Right? Okay, so let's break some of this down. So the pursuit in life for the psalmist, and hopefully for us as well, is the height of knowing and experiencing God's word, God's precepts, God's law, his commandments, his statutes. Why do we care about what God says? And for some of you listening, you may not care anything about what God says. You got this far in the podcast and you're like, I don't care about this stuff. I'm done now. But if you're sticking in, there might be part of you that realizes there's a gap between how much you really care about what God says and how much you probably should care about what God says. And why should you care? Well, because life is lived on God's terms. And so when you don't live life on God's terms, well, I mean, you are, you're just not aware that you are, and you are delusional in thinking that you're living life on your own terms, you live life in what's known as confusion. And confusion creates frustration and all kinds of emotional, spiritual, and physical, and relational distress. There's brokenness, right? And so the psalmist is teaching us that, like, the closer we are, the more we care about God's voice, God's word, God's law, God's command, God's precepts, his statutes, the better we live, the more in conformity to living life on his terms we live. So to have little or no love of God and his word is to live at the base of the mountain with no spiritual depth. Those who have yet to experience this graced awareness do not understand those who are following after God's voice. This is why they would be insolent in the first place. I mean, it's common to criticize and judge those things that we don't understand. And so the psalmist reflects on his experience of pursuing God in a world where people have no respect for what's going on in the depth dimension. If you look around you, most people really are just skimming over the depth of life. Even at Christmas, they never pause to reflect on really something that's happening. They just say, oh, family is good, family's important, pass the ham. So, like, the psalmist here is, he feels deeply in his heart, his inner being, that's what heart means, the inner self, regarding the law and direction of God. Like, he feels it deeply. Yet others cannot feel or perceive this. Their inner selves are, like he says, unfeeling like fat. You see, the good, again, is hidden within the context of scoffers and those who don't understand. So like the psalmist has this gift, the voice of God speaking into your life gives you the sense that even though you're surrounded by people who don't get it, who don't get you, that God is being good in the midst of it, that through their disrespect is goodness coming to you. It gives you a tremendous perspective to see how much good is in your life. In verse 71, the psalmist continues, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." This is the richness. Like when you get to a place where you actually love God and what God says more than anything else in your life, more than your family, more than your kids, more than the pursuit of riches or what money could buy you, more than your health, more than long life, more than, you can't think of anything that is more satisfying, more pleasing, more holistically causing joy in your life than God himself and his voice. Then you will reflect, like the psalmist, and see that the affliction itself taught you something. Yes, we all have affliction and suffering. The fires of our life exist, but whenever there's fire, there's not just heat, it's light. So what a gift it is to find the good which is hidden everywhere. And that's what this section, that's what this letter, Tet, is all about, the hidden good. It's everywhere. If you can't see it, it's because it's gestating. And like a pregnant woman who is early in her pregnancy, you'd never know. In fact, sometimes the pregnancy causes the woman to be surprised. It's growing. Eventually, it will show up in and as our very life. And to the spiritually attuned, like the psalmist, good is found in our affliction. It's God's word, God's direction, his counsel, his insight and communication that transforms affliction and suffering and pain into the hidden good. See, once we begin to live life on God's terms rather than ours, we grow capable of receiving each moment of our life without judging it. Instead of going through life and claiming, oh, this is a good thing, and that's a bad thing. Well, let's try and get more of the good and less of the bad. Like, those are fool's errands. Instead, we can now just receive all things as good. It's just the next thing without judgment. All things are ultimately good. Why? Because God is ultimately good, and he's bringing them into your life for your good. See, that's the perspective that is so transformative because, like I say, you don't go through life going, oh, that's a bad thing. I got in a car accident this morning, but I'm okay, but my car's totaled. It starts out as a really bad thing. Then you discover something along the way that works out. You got fired and it forced you to take that next step that you've always wanted to take. Your relationship ended, but then later you meet the person who's right for you. Like, all of this type of stuff happens. You catch a disease that is terminal, but then your relationships grow to a depth they never would apart from the disease. Like, God's goodness is in and through and beyond the affliction. It's all good. And what's amazing here is that this life is worth more than riches and wealth of the world's currencies, because it's true riches. Like, what good is having a bunch of, you know, what if you had 100 Bitcoin right now? Yeah, you'd have a lot of money, but if you had a terminal disease, it wouldn't help you. What good is it to have perfect health if your kids hate you, your spouse doesn't love you, and you don't have a good relationship in your life? Like, these are the, you're missing out on the true riches of life. Like you're struggling under the weight of the affliction. You're being broken by the things that are happening because you're not learning that there's good through them. You're not being transformed by the affliction. You're getting all of the fire's heat and none of its light. See, the true riches is to gain both warmth and light. See, and a person that can encounter anything but good or good in its hiding place has wealth. Do you understand that? If you can't encounter anything but good, then you have wealth. It's not just the eternal optimist trying to just wax poetically or spin a positive thing, but you truly are confident that, well, while this may not be what I would have chosen, I will receive it as what is best and good for me. Like that person is somewhere further up the mountain than we most of us would understand. That person has true wealth. It's wealth that is out of this world. And that person actually has the most enviable life, no matter how long it is. And so in closing, I'd like to say there isn't winning and losing as our world likes to teach us. There's only winning and learning. And our learning, according to the psalm, is learning to see the hidden good, the tet, in all things. God bless you as you contemplate these things.